and Krishna at different times of the day, and also glorifies Krishna's various
January 24th, Shamrani Puri.
Like Rama, Krishna, Hayagriva. Sri Madhusudan, Vaman, many, many pastimes, Kadambakanana, many, many pastimes are indicated in that song. So between those two songs, how can we fit in Lord Jagannath? Anybody who has read the origin of Rath Yatra knows that there's very deep pastimes in relation to Vrindavan within the pastimes of Rath Yatra. And I can either begin with the Rath Yatra discussion. I can begin with the discussion of Baladev, Jagannath, and Subhadra, and bring that over to the Braj pastimes. Or I can bring the Braj pastimes to the Dwarka pastimes. Because Baladev, Subhadra, and Jagannath are not only in that form with the shrunken in arms and the big eyes. Jagannath is actually Krishna in Dwarka. So that Krishna in Dwarka is feeling separation from the residents of Vrindavan, and particularly the gopis. And he's also remembering those pastimes. So the same pastimes that we're singing about and glorifying in Vrindavan are being remembered by Krishna in Dwarka. In the book Hamsadutta, Lalita is giving a message to a swan in her madness, thinking that that swan is going to follow her instruction and go to Mathura and give Krishna her message about how Radharani is suffering and just about to leave her body. So she's giving the swan various directions. Go left here and turn here and don't stop there and do stop there. And then when you come to Krishna's palace, you'll see that on the outer walls of the palace, there are pastimes of Krishna in Mathura, so that all the people of Mathura can feel very happy that their pastimes are there. But in Krishna's bedroom, in his inner walls, there are painted pastimes on the walls of his Vrindavan Leela, so that he can look at them and weep. Already he's feeling separation, but he's feeling zero. So he wants to just weep and become fully immersed. And he can do that when he comes to his private pastime room. So when the residents of Vrindavan, they're experiencing their pastimes in one prakost, or one section of their pastimes. And in another section, where Krishna has left Vrindavan and gone to Mathura and Dwarka, where he's associating with Subhadra and Baladev there, Baladev in the mood of a prince, along with all of his queens. In the other prakost in Vrindavan, they're feeling separation, thinking that Krishna is in Dwarka, and remembering those same pastimes that they experienced when Krishna was there. But now when they remember those pastimes, they're still going on. Because in the absolute world, there's no difference between remembrance of something or thinking about something and the actual substance. Sometimes Radharani is having a dream that Krishna has approached her. So then she wakes up and she sees that Krishna has approached her. The thinking, the meditation, everything is real there. Just like the name. Here when we say the name, it's really not the name. It's offenses to the name. It's Namaparad, or it's a semblance of the name. But when we do chant the real name, Shuddhanam, then that meditation will really be Krishna. Krishna will really be there. Sometimes Radharani is walking with Lalita and her braid will be moving on her shoulder. So she'll be actually thinking, Lalita, your friend Krishna is touching me on the shoulder and he won't let me go. So it's just, you could say, her imagination, but actually that brings Krishna there by that meditation. So back to our singing Mangal Arati. There's the waking up of Radha. It's complex, so I hope I'm saying it clearly enough that at least intellectually it makes some sense. When I first met Srila Gurudev, I told, this was back in 1992, I told him that I have some intellectual understanding of the philosophy, but no realization. So how do I get that? No experience. So Gurudev, I thought he was going to say, intellectual understanding is not everything, but instead, he said, intellectual understanding is no understanding. So of course, that applies to now. So I hope that at least intellectually, we think we're understanding it. I think that's just how this is where it begins. Because Srila Gurudev explained in his old 90s darshans that first we hear, then we imagine with our mind, and we keep hearing, and that imagination, it's not reality yet, but because the imagination is based on something we heard and going along with sadhana, something we heard from the bona fide source, and it's going along with our doing proper sadhana, that imagination, although it's not real, it's a bona fide stage. And when it's become real, when the reality descends. Our imagination doesn't turn into something real, but the reality descends. So for those who are in Goloka Vrindavan, Radha and Krishna and their associates, they're in one section experiencing the reality of their Mangal Arati, of their waking up pastimes. And the Mangal Arati is not actually being done by us, but the Mangal Arati is being done by Lalita and Vishakha. When Srila Gurudev was in Holland in 1997, he said one person, suppose there's a big assembly of devotees and one person is doing the Arati, and he's thinking, oh yes, I'm doing Arati so nicely, my hands moving nicely, moving the handkerchief so nicely. He has really no connection. But there may be somebody else who's way in the back of the assembly and he's weeping and he's thinking, oh, Lalita is doing Arati. So he's really in connection. So during the Mangal Arati, Lalita, Vishakha, they're doing Arati with instruments, but also with their ankle bells, with their waist bells, with their bracelets, jingling bracelets, and urging Radha and Krishna to awaken before the sun rises so that no in-laws find out. So on one side, that's going on. So in order to connect with Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra, That means that Krishna has gone to Dwarka. And that means that Radharani and her associates are thinking of the same Mangalarti, but with great grief and separation. And also, on the other side, in Mathura or in Dwarka, Krishna is also remembering that. Another way to bring in Baladeva and Subhadra. And we could be thinking of all these things. There's lots to do during Mangalarti, if we want. If we extend the time just a little bit, time meaning like 3:30 in the morning, Radha and Krishna are awakening and performing some awakening pastimes before, say, Vrinda Devi being afraid that some in-laws will come, and then all their pastimes will be finished. So on the call of Vrinda, the monkey, cockatoo, calls out, Jatila is coming, Jatila is coming. And then everybody gets scared and runs in their different directions to their homes. Of course, everything is fine, but it's just to get them home by very soon. So then, let's take it to, if you're doing the Mangalarti, let's take it to just a little further later, when Krishna's waking up. He already woke up during the Mangalarti song. Then he went very quickly and very afraid, even though he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's feared by fear personified. Still, he takes more pleasure than in being God. He takes pleasure in being afraid as he's running home, looking in different directions to make sure nobody's looking. And then he feels safe when he finally gets to his bedroom. So then he's awoken by a group. This group is Mother Yasoda, who comes and wipes off his face with some water and her veil. And when she sees all these different marks on him, she's thinking, I told those boys not to be so rough and to wrestle in the bushes so that Krishna would get scratch marks and minerals from the rocks of Govardhan. But they never listened to me. And then she would wipe all that off and give Krishna some sweet. So Baladeva may be there, and Yogamaya. Subhadra is, because Krishna's coward boyfriends are also there to wake him up. And as far as the elders go, it's Mother Yasoda, Purnamasi, and Ambika, who was Krishna's nurse when he was a baby, and Makara. I think Makara is also there. That is Radharani's grandmother, who used to breastfeed Mother Yasoda when she was a baby. So Subhadra is an expansion of Yogamaya, who comes to give Krishna blessings when he's waking up in the morning. Gurudev said, she is Maha, Maha, Maha Lakshmi, expansion of Yogamaya. Then also, Baladev and Subhadra facilitate Krishna's return to Vrindavan. Krishna is always feeling, Krishna in Dwarka, is always feeling separation from Vrindavan, and especially the gopis, and especially Srimati Radhika. So at a certain point, his separation becomes unbearable. And here's where we connect with Rathi Yatra. So he tells his wife, Bimala, who is the collective of the 16,000 wives, 16,108 wives in Dwarka, who Krishna only married because they remind him of the gopis and his pastimes with them. And even at night, he's remembering, when he's with the queens and sleeping, he's remembering all the Brijavasis. He's calling out and weeping to his mother, "Oh, Mother Yasoda, give me rotis, give me butter." Oh, then he's calling out to his cows, he's calling out to his coward boys to play, what to speak of calling out to the gopis. And remembering those same pastimes that he enjoyed with them in Vrindavan. So, as Srila Gurudev sometimes quotes, am I making sense for making the links? Sort of. So, as Srila Gurudev sometimes quotes Srila Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada, that meeting and separation increase side by side and nourish each other increasingly forever. So it's not sufficient that the Mangal Arati is going on, the Mangal Nishanta Leela pastimes are going on, but there simultaneously needs to be an annex to that, which is the feelings of separation while remembering that. While remembering that, it's actually going on in a varied way as when they're actually meeting. When one is meeting, when two people are meeting, or a group is meeting, they become so absorbed in what they're doing externally that they forget the deep feelings inside. But when they're feeling separation, when they're apart, they experience their meeting within, and with the deep feelings of separation, sometimes the meeting is even greater. That's why it is stated in the Shastra that separation dances on the head of meeting. It doesn't mean that we prefer separation. Srila Gurudev once gave a lecture in which he made a funny statement in Hawaii. Shri Shri Radha Damodara ki jai. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Shri Jagannath Paladev Subhadra Sudarshan Prabhu ki jai. Shri Giriraj Govardhan ki jai. Where he made a funny statement that anyone who prefers, even though it's stated that separation dances on the head of meeting, and that sometimes there's more pleasure in separation because one is meeting in a more deep way internally, and everything external is forgotten. Still, Gurudev said that anybody who prefers separation of Radha and Krishna must be in the group of Chandravali or Kamsa, because only they want Radha and Krishna to separate. Does that make sense? So very interesting. Srila Gurudev sometimes speaks from his position as a maidservant of Radharani. So how does Subhadra and Baladev facilitate Krishna's going to Vrindavan? So Krishna in Dwarka tells Bimala, who represents the sum total of the 16,108 queens, that I'm not feeling very well. I'm having some loose motions. I think I need to go for a while, for some days, to a different climate. And then I'll hurry back. So, Krishna, but he's really planning to go on the Rath cart from the Jagannath temple to the Gundicha temple. Is this making sense to you? I don't know if you've heard this before. You've heard this before? So, the Jagannath temple represents Dwarka, and the Gundicha temple, which is about a 2-mile journey on the Rath Yatra road, represents Vrindavan. So, Krishna is thinking, and also Bimala, his queen, is thinking, Lakshmi is thinking, that there's no need. My queens won't worry if I take Baladev and Subhadra with me, because then they'll know that I'm not going to do anything that's too engrossing in my pastimes at Vrindavan, and that soon I'll return. They'll remind me to return. But in the Rath Yatra discussions by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and some of his associates, I think Swarup Damodar. Mahaprabhu was asking, why did Krishna take Balaram and Subhadra with him when he went to Vrindavan? So Swarup Damodar Goswami replied that it's just a ploy so that nobody would get suspicious. Subhadra and Balaram would have loving conversations, and Subhadra would embrace and caress the Mother Yasoda and other elderly gopis and gopas, and they would talk about all their family exchanges. And in the meantime, and they occupied the family in Vrindavan. And meantime, Krishna would go and have his pastimes with the gopis. But even Baladev and Subhadra didn't know where Krishna was going. Nobody can understand or enter into or even be aware of the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis unless he has the ecstatic mood of the gopis. In other words, unless he's a gopi or a maidservant. So we can think that Baladeva and Subhadra assist Krishna in his Vrindavan pastimes. Also, in the Rath Yatra book, which consists of Srila Gurudev's many lectures that he gave in different years during the week of Rath Yatra in England, Italy, and Germany, basically. So there are three histories, and two of the histories show how Baladev and Subhadra are facilitating Krishna's absorption and return to Vrindavan. Once, Krishna was unconscious. This is Krishna, Jagannath. He was unconscious for a few days because he was feeling so much grief of separation for the Vrijbhasis, especially the gopis. So while he was still unconscious, Baladev and Narada and Uddhav and some other associates, she doesn't need a translation? They had a meeting. What are we going to do? Krishna's unconscious. He's absorbed in Vrindavan. So they decided that they'll send Krishna to Vrindavan for a short visit. And they told Uddhav to go there ahead of time and tell the Vrijvasis that Krishna's coming soon. So Uddhav said, "They'll never believe me because last time I went and I told them that Krishna's coming and he never came. So when I go there, they'll say, 'Oh, that liar has come.' Better Baladev goes and informs them to get ready." So Baladev said, "No, the same thing's going to happen to me. I also went there." That's when he danced with Krishna's gopis to console them. "If I go again, they'll say that liar has come." So Subhadra was listening to this conversation. She said, "I'll go. They'll believe me. I'll jump onto Mother Yasoda's lap and I'll caress her and I'll tell her, 'Make a festive decoration. Krishna's coming. Maybe he'll be a few minutes late because he's coming on his chariot and all the big rich people and kings and great devotees and brahmanas, they'll want to offer some puja, some worship and give some gifts on the way. So maybe there'll be a slight delay, but he's coming very soon. So decorate the place and make it so festive." So Subhadra said, "I'll do that." So then they got three chariots together to go to Vrindavan. And Balaram, Subhadra, and Jagannath. And Duruka was riding Krishna's chariot. He's Krishna's chariot driver. So in the meantime, so they're hurrying to get to Braj. In the meantime, in Vrindavan, Srimati Radhika is surrounded by her friends, and she's barely, what to speak of barely conscious, she's barely alive. Of course she's eternal, there's no question of that. But one of the symptoms of ecstatic separation is that it's like death. It's so stunned that it's like death. But within, there's a flood of remembrances of the past times, and that is reality. I mean, it's really going on for her. In fact, Gurudev explained in his Vallabh Kusumanjali darshans that when the Sakis are taking Radharani home from the Seva Kunj back to her home in Yavat, she's fainting in separation. And in separation, she's with Krishna and is experiencing the association. But Lalita and Vishakha and the other Sakis, they keep trying to wake her up. She said, "What are you doing? You're taking me to a snake pit. That's not my home. My home is, my abode is with Krishna. You're taking me to a place where my mother-in-law is just like a big snake, and my sister-in-law, she's just like a baby snake, always ready to bite. And always just like ants in the Mani Maya Mandir." Mani Maya Mandir means a mandir that's made of jewels, very, very valuable jewels. But an ant is crawling through the jewels, looking for holes in the spaces between the jewels, looking for holes. So my mother-in-law is always chastising me and confusing me. And that's where you're taking me, to that pit of snakes? So it's just the opposite. They want her to be conscious so she could go home, but then she'll suffer because then she's feeling separation from Krishna, whereas when she's unconscious, totally unaware of the surroundings, in faint, then she's very happily associated with Krishna. So, as the chariots of Baladev, Subhadra, and Jagannath are hurrying to Vrindavan to relieve Krishna's separation, at that same time, Srimati Radhika is so much in internal consciousness, in the grief of separation, that Lalita and Vishakha have to put a cotton swab to her nostrils to see if she's still alive. And Radharani is saying, because she's always in the highest service mood to Krishna, never considering her own happiness or distress, only thinking of the happiness of Krishna. So she told her sakis, I'm going to die now, but after I die, take the air of my life, the life airs, and mix it with the airs in Nandabhavan, so that I provide a nice breeze for Krishna. And take the fire in my body, so we all have fire, Agni and fire, and merge that fire with the sunshine in Nandabhavan, so Krishna could always feel the nice warm effects. And take the other elements, the earth of my body, and mix that with the earth of Nandabhavan, the area of Krishna's house, Nandabhavan, so that I can provide a nice ground for Krishna to walk on me. Mm-hmm. And take my arms and make them go around the tamal tree so that I can always be embracing Krishna. So in this, when she's in this state, Krishna arrives on the chariot, and she's just about to die when Lalita and Vishakha tell her that Krishna's here. Don't die. Krishna's here. But when Krishna sees Radharani, he becomes so absorbed in ecstatic meeting and separation because she's not seeing him. She's experiencing him on another level of separation. So he's feeling so much ecstatic separation from her, even though they're together, that his whole form melts into that Jagannath form. And he starts rolling on the ground. And then Baladev and Subhadra arrive, and they also melt, seeing Krishna in that condition. So we can meditate how they are facilitating the Vrindavan pastimes, the Nikunja pastimes of Radha and Krishna, in these various ways. That's the third history of how Lord Jagannath appeared. Third history? Yeah. In the second history, Krishna is sitting with Baladev and so many relatives. Not Subhadra, she's not there. He's sitting with so many relatives, and ministers, sages in Dwarka. And meanwhile, Rohini is relating to the queens in one of the queen's palaces, perhaps Rukmini's palace or Satyabhama's palace. She's relating to the queens the answer to their question, why does Krishna love the Vrajavasis more than us? So much so that when he's lying on the bed with us, he wets the whole bed, weepingly calling out, Maya to Mother Yasoda, Maya, give me makkhan and rotis, give me bread and butter. And calling out to Radharani and the gopis, calling out to the cows and the coward boys. And the queens are complaining. It's like we don't even exist. We might as well not even be there, even though we're lying right there in the bed with him. So this conversation is going on with all the queens. In the meantime, Subhadra is standing at the doorway to make sure no men don't come in. No men come in. And then, in the meantime, Krishna is in the assembly with all of his relatives, and from far away, he's hearing Rohini speak. Because Krishna says that I'm not in the heart of the yogi. I'm not in Vaikuntha. I live where my pure devotees are glorifying my qualities and pastime. So Krishna's there. He's hearing. So he runs, and then Balaram runs after him. And they want to go into here, but Subhadra says, I'm sorry, no men can come. So they're all there listening at the door. And Rohini is so much absorbed in telling, weepingly telling, why Krishna loves the gopis so much. Mother Yasoda and the coward boys, but especially the gopis. And Krishna is hearing this with such rapture and feelings of separation that his body melts and he turns into that Jagannath. And seeing him, Subhadra and Baladev also turn into those forms. And then Narada Muni, who instigated the whole conversation with the queens and Rohini, he's seeing the transformation. So then Rohini faints, comes back to consciousness. She faints and stops talking. And then Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra come back to their original forms. And they bless Narada for creating that whole situation. Tell us whatever blessings you want. So Narada said, I want that somewhere in the world, these three forms will be there, remain there forever, so that gradually everyone will become devotees and understand your very high love and separation for the gopis, and the gopis' love for you. So in this way also, Baladev and Subhadra nourish Krishna's grudge pastimes. In Kurukshetra, when the gopis meet with Krishna, they don't speak in a straightforward way. They don't want to tell Krishna that they're there for him because he's suffering so much. They tell Krishna that they're suffering. And Krishna doesn't want to tell them that he's suffering. So he tries to hide it by saying, well, have you heard that I'm God? Actually, it's true. And actually, I'm everywhere. I'm all pervading. So if you just meditate on me, because you are my energy, then you'll always be with me. Just like an earthen pot is always with the earth. They're never separated, are they? Similarly, you and I are always together. So just meditate on me. So they said, in external words, we're not qualified to meditate on you because only the great yogis are qualified to meditate on you. We're just material, ordinary household girls. But what they really were saying was that only the great great yogis and demigods like Brahma and Shiva are foolish enough to want to meditate on you. We actually want to forget you, because we've known you and all your tricks since you were a baby. And we know all, we remember all the times that you put your peacock feather at Radharani's feet and begged for forgiveness, that you followed us around everywhere, that you stole the gopis' clothes, you always stole the butter from other people's houses. So we want to forget you, not meditate on you. By telling us to meditate on you, it's like telling ABCs to PhD deletes. So the gopis know, they say, we know who you really are. We know you're that black cheater. You're telling us you're God, we know you're that same black cheater. So they know what will make Krishna happy. They know that only if Krishna is in Vrindavan can he really be happy. Because in Dwarka, for example, he can't reveal his mind that I'm so hungry, give me makhan and roti, give me bread and butter. He has to kind of pretend to be reserved. But Mother Yasoda and Devaki doesn't know any of the tricks to get Krishna to eat. But Mother Yasoda knows all the tricks. Like, for example, she'll say, why aren't you eating? Look at Baladev here. His sika is much thicker and longer than yours. Don't you want to have a nice, thick sika like Balaram? Eat. So Krishna said, yes, I want to have a better sika than Balaram. Give me some this, that, and the other thing. Or Mother Yasoda would say, why aren't you eating? Lord Narayan's going to be very displeased with me if you don't eat. So eat. So Krishna eats. Actually, he's very hungry, because he's always hungry for his devotees' love and offerings. But he needs to be tricked into eating, because he can't admit how hungry he is. Get it? Psychological. So in this way, here's an example of Krishna's feeling separation from Vrindavan, and the gopis are trying to increase his feelings of separation from Vrindavan so that he can experience Vrindavan more. And on the chariots of their mind, they take him to Vrindavan. So these are just some of the ways that we can relate the Jagannath deities with Radha and Damodar. So as I mentioned, there's two songs during the Mangala Arati. One is just the Nikunja song, and the other is Vibhava Rishesha. So there's also a lot of opportunities to connect the various pastimes. Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadraji Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Damodar Ki Jai. Shri Taranga Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. So there's a lot of opportunities. For example, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is at the Rath Yatra festival, it's now the fifth day of the festival. It's Hare Panchami. And on that day, there's a great drama performance of Jagannath's associates and Mahaprabhu's associates, where Lakshmi, who's a man playing the part of Lakshmi, is all opulently decorated and goes to Gundicha Mandir to chastise and whip with silk like very soft, dainty silk rope, but pretending to whip the associates of Jagannath, like the Kundicha Mandir, that is the gopis, they're chastising the gopis. So, at that time, Mahaprabhu was thinking that the road that Jagannath is riding on is one side of the Jamuna and another side of the Jamuna. And he's thinking that the Jamuna is there and that there are groves on either side of the Jamuna. And Krishna is now coming to Vrindavan. So in this way also, all the Rath Yatra pastimes give another level of mood and emotions to the Vrindavan pastimes. So Yasodananda. The gopis are telling Krishna in Kurukshetra, Krishna meaning Dwarkadish, if you say that we should meditate on you, but you should know that our mind is not like other people's minds and hearts. Our mind and heart is Vrindavan. It's not different from Vrindavan. So if you want to be in our minds, you know, meditate in our meditation. If you want to be in our hearts, then you have to come to Vrindavan. But you can't come to Vrindavan if you're thinking that you're the son of Devaki. You have to think that you're Yasodananda. And with their emotions, they gave Krishna, you have to put on this peacock feather and take the flute. So, in singing, Yasodanandana, Nikunja Rasa Vilasi, in all these ways we can be like a pendulum, swing from here to here. This brings us to that, and that brings us to that. Kamsa Nisudan. Krishna is the killer of Kamsa. In this song, Vibhava Rishesha, Krishna is the killer of Kamsa. But it's a song about Vrindavan. It's all about Vrindavan. So why is Krishna called Kamsa Nisudan there? He's called that because Yoga Maya arranged the whole pastime of going to Mathura and killing Kamsa only because Krishna wanted to please the gopis. Because sometimes, even when Radharani is with Krishna, she's thinking in Prem Vaichitya that Krishna is not there. And even when Krishna's trying to console her as she's sitting on his lap, she's weeping and beating on her chest that, oh, Krishna's gone, Madhusudan's gone, and he'll never come back. So Krishna's thinking, when I'm not there, Radharani embraces a tamal tree, thinking that it's me, and she's very happy, dressing, eating. But when I'm there, more and more she's thinking that I'm not there, I can't console her. So if I go away forever to Mathura and Dwarka, then the gopis will always be happy. But of course Krishna's thinking these backwards. So Yogamaya arranged that Yogamaya, knowing Krishna's desire to please the gopis, why? To have the same pastimes but with the mood of separation. Yogamaya arranged for Kamsa to send Akrura and bring Krishna back to Mathura and kill Kamsa and so on and so forth. So we're going to end here because it's 8 o'clock and I'm going to ask if there's any questions or comments on this complex discussion. But it's better to have those complex thoughts and meditations during Mangala Arati than the complexities of material relationships and thoughts and problems. Oh, if this happens and that can happen, what if that happens? Oh my God.
remember that you are Krishna and you are God.
Right.
So my question is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears, taking the internal view and the bodily luster of Radharani. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes every day when he was here in the Puridham to Jagannath Mandir. So how do you reconcile that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu internally being Radharani is attracted to a form which is in work, because Radharani is always the world of smudging the Nandana Krishna. And in this case it looks like she is attracted to work.
This, if you read the origin of Rathiyatra, Srila Gurudev's lectures, all of this is very elaborately explained there. That when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the Jagannath Mandir, even though Baladev and Subhadra are standing right near Lord Jagannath, he doesn't see them, generally. And he doesn't see Krishna as Dwarkadish. He sees Krishna as Gajendranandan. What are you doing here? He sees him with his peacock feather and flute. On the occasions, and he's very happy, on the occasions that he sees Subhadra and Baladev, on those occasions he becomes very sad and thinks of himself as Radharani in Kurukshetra, meeting Krishna there. Seeing all the elephants and the ministers and the queens and the palaces, that, you know, for the first moment I was happy seeing you, but now seeing all these surroundings, I'm not happy. So I want you to come back to Vrindavan. Why did you leave? And she's asking him so many questions. I can understand that you left us gopis, because we don't have a blood relationship with you. But how could you leave your mother and your father? So, does that answer it?
No.
Secondly, I wanted to further answer, because there's so many answers to your questions of last night. But I wanted to, I mentioned some things, but I wanted to further answer it. So, when I was